Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey through the Bible broadcast. Of course, you know me by now, most of you. My name is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I'll be one of your co-hosts. That's interesting how it just flips off my tongue that way. But I am a Messianic pastor or rabbi, and our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith, which answer the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Yeshua, Jesus. So at this time, I would like to introduce, and I have the honor to do so, our other cohort host, and that is Minister Tanita Jones.
Hello, everyone, and thank you, Rabbi John. I'm glad to be a co-host of the show with you. I'm glad that we're able to be a blessing to others, to share the truth of the Word of God through being able to answer questions. And I'm also glad that we'll just continue on with the questions that we had from last week. So thank you, Rabbi John, for the introduction.
You're welcome. And I'm going to go ahead and get us started with prayer, and then I'll pass it right back to you so that you can kind of wrap us up and give us a review of some talking points pertaining to the question itself, as well as review the question so that those that may be listening for the first time can be able to kind of enjoy what we're talking about and wrap up prayerfully at the same time.
Okay.
So, Father, right now, Father God, we just give you thanks, and I praise you and glorify you. First and foremost, Father, I ask forgiveness for myself for any sin, iniquity, or transgression, for me and my home and for my house. Father, I also ask, and we ask, Father God, that you give us the strength by way of your Spirit to forgive those who have sinned against us, caused iniquity, as well as transgression against us and against our family and against our family members. Father, we ask and pray that your glory, that your Ruach HaKodesh begin to minister and begin to flow and to just envelop the airways and begin to touch the hearts and minds of individuals that are listening right now.
Yeah.
Allow them to begin to resonate with only the truth of what is being shared. And we give you the glory, we give you the praise for this time in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. And so last week we concluded with our conclusion of speaking about salvation, and then we were starting near the end of the show to ask the question about from one of our reviewers about the Sabbath, and it was observing the Sabbath, and we said that we would take it from the Old Testament perspective, but the question was, how do we keep it holy? I mean, how do we keep it, and how do we keep it holy? You were starting to address it with the Apostle James, which was the half-brother of Yeshua, from Acts chapter 15. And we were looking at verses, I think it was 13 through 24, Rabbi.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, ma'am. That's correct. And one of the things, and even though we're looking at it from an Old Testament perspective, that does not mean, obviously, that we're not going to take the New Testament scriptures to help to complement that particular truth. So, and the reason for that is because oftentimes when individuals call in and when they ask questions, most of the individuals are believers. They are New Testament believers, if you will. And so, therefore, they're wanting to understand and know how to operate from the Old Testament with a New Testament perspective. And if any of those aspects are relative to us today. So that's how we're going to answer this question. That's how we're going to address this question pertaining to the Sabbath. Now, most Christians have been taught, and you guys know this, most of you, have been taught that on the very day that Yeshua, that Jesus rose from the dead, okay, after his death and burial, that was a Sunday morning. Most of us are taught that in Christianity. And therefore, that is what constituted the New Testament believers worshiping on Sunday, and that Sunday became their Sabbath, if you will. In other words, it was changed. Now, it's important for us to understand and to know, first and foremost, the scriptures in the Bible, they complement truth. to where we don't have to bring up anything that's not of the truth and meant by the truth. The truth itself is complemented in the scripture. So that's why we first and foremost went to Acts chapter 15, verses 13 through 24, with an emphasis on verse 21, because there was a dilemma, and we talked about this before, so I'm just going to quickly go over this, but there was a dilemma within the church. Now, keep in mind, the church, as we understood it back then, was in the synagogue, okay? And the church itself, or the New Testament believer church, did not have a structural building as of yet that they would have on every street corner like we have now. So it evolved from the worship that they, of course, the Jews primarily, okay, had in their relationship with God. They were the only ones that had the righteous relationship at the time. So the New Testament believer evolved from that. So when the apostle James began to share about a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas pertaining to some Judaizers that came down, and you can further read that in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 15 of the book of Acts, a part of the major disagreement was the fact that they, being the Judaizers, were bringing in a certain aspect of Torah, of the law, in relationship with salvation, and we're putting a extra salvation step or burden upon those who had been converted. And so Paul and Barnabas had to step in. Now, why is this relevant? Why is this important? It's relevant and important because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we get a chance to see, okay, is Torah itself, is the commandments themselves of the Old Testament, are they relevant or are they obsolete? Mm-hmm. And that was a part of the discussion along with the salvation issue. Now, this happened, and this is the reason why I brought it up pertaining to Sabbath, because we know that the fourth commandment refers to Sabbath. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it was imperative for us to see, okay, if in fact this transformation, if you will, if this transformation from what is being taught now from a Saturday Sabbath to a Sunday Sabbath,
mm-hmm,
happened during Christ's resurrection, then in fact, this Acts 15, which mostly all scholars agree as far as the historical time period, and that's important, that this historical time period in Acts chapter 15 happened approximately 18 to 20 years after Christ's,
mm-hmm,
resurrection. So this is a perfect opportunity for us to dive in and say, okay, have they changed the Sabbath? Have they changed the meetings? Have they changed the day?
Right.
Okay. All right. And James is addressing the conversion of the Gentiles into the Messianic, and I can use that term, and I don't have to use it loosely here because they were all Jews. They were Messianic. They were Jews that believed in Yeshua. That's,
mm-hmm,
what primarily Messianic means. So they were Messianic Jews, and they were trying to help the Gentiles who were estranged to this doctrine, estranged to the understanding, trying to assimilate them in and give them an understanding of where to start. And so James is sharing this 18 to 20 years after, and he makes a bold statement, which in that day was not bold, but in our day it is, because we've lost the relevance of what he was saying, when he says to start them off here with, you know, things strangled and things like that. In other words, these,
mm-hmm,
are basic righteous Noahic tenets that a Gentile needs to do in order to be converting to Judaism, which they understood, the Jews understood. And they said, start them off with these basic tenets. Because when you start them off with these basic tenets, they got to go to church. Now, of course, I'm going to use some of my Christian churchology terminology. they've got to go to church. And there's no other church on the planet other than the synagogue. So that's where they're going to go to church. And the synagogue is going to be teaching them, like Paul Harvey would say, going to teach them the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the story is the laws of Moses, or the readings of Moses, which is the commandments. Within those commandments, they're going to learn about the Sabbath. They're going to learn about how to observe the Sabbath.
Yes.
Okay? So what I would like is for you, if you would, and I'll stop here so that you can kind of ramp us up and read that, and then from there we'll go to the rest of the questions, or the three-part question within the one question pertaining to Sabbath.
Okay.
What she's going to be doing is reading Acts chapter 15.
Mm-hmm.
She's jumping in at verse 13. We're going to focus in on we'll start at 17 just so that we can get as much information as we possibly can in, within the 30 minutes. But please at home read verse 13, because that is where the Apostle James, who was standing as the head apostle, he had the mantle that Peter refused to wear, and he was standing in as the head apostle. So as he spoke, the Holy Spirit was confirming his words pertaining to the dilemma and how the dilemma needed to be solved and reconciled. Okay? So she's going to read verse 17 through 24. In verse 21, you're going to see where he talks about and refers to and explains and confirms the fact that the Sabbath, meaning the Sabbath that they followed, was still being observed. In other words, it did not change. They did not change it to the first day of the week. And we'll go into the whole situation with Acts chapter 20 and Paul talking to the church about, and the first day of the week when you meet to have money ready so that I can give some offerings to the people that were suffering in Jerusalem. That's a mistranslation of an understanding, okay? And we'll go into that. But let's do this first and just kind of step by step go through this aspect. Okay, if you would, please.
Okay, so Acts chapter 15, and I'm going to start at verse 17. This is the New King James Version. So that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. Known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses has, this is verse 21, for Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath.
Okay, stop there for just a second. Even though I know I said we're going to go to verse 24, which we will, mm-hmm. One of the things I want to make sure you guys understand is the mannerism in which he's speaking is that this is what is called a Noahic covenant. There was a righteous Noahic covenant of seven different commands that they would command Gentiles to do in order for them to be considered a righteous Gentile. In other words, a Gentile who is trying to walk in the manner in which they should without totally converting, okay? About totally converting to Judaism. And so this was a part of what he was saying, he being James, was saying, the apostle James, was saying to the rest of the multitude at the council. This was the first council of Jerusalem. And within this council, he was making an edict. And in this edict, he was saying to these Jewish people, he was saying, we all know the steps that it takes pertaining to the Noahic covenant. And he says, let's all start, when we're ministering, let's start there with these Gentiles, because these are the same steps that we would normally do for a Gentile in order for him to begin to make steps towards conversion. Okay? Mm-hmm. So they were not ignorant to what he was saying pertaining to abstaining from idols and all of these. These were just a part of the seven Noahic steps. Then he makes a statement that they totally understood, because they knew that everyone goes to the synagogue to worship. And they knew that everyone goes to the synagogue on Sabbath. Well, remember, historically, this is 18 to 20 years after Christ's resurrection.
Yeah.
Things did not change like we're taught in Christendom. It did not. Okay? They still followed Sabbath because they understood the importance of Sabbath. Now, I'll let you go ahead and finish, and thank you for letting me kind of interject that thought. But I'll let you go ahead and finish verses 22 to 24. Now, because Minister Tanita is reading out of the King James, the King James has a insertion of a word verbiage, a word phrase that is not in the earlier manuscripts. It is not in the earlier manuscripts. And the statement is very incriminating because the statement is very anti-Semitic. The statement talks about and discusses the fact that these Judaizers were trying to get them to follow the law. Okay? Now, we're going to go up because it's important and it's relevant to this. The Sabbath question, we're going to go back up to verses 1 and 2, and you'll see that the Judaizers never discussed the aspect of Torah because they were already being taught Torah. Paul was teaching Torah. What they had a problem with was circumcision for salvation. That's in the Torah. That was the only problem that these Judaizers had, that they were imparting and impressing and trying to literally force upon these converts. So, but I wanted to make sure you see in the King James Version, as opposed to the NASB or the or some other translations, it inserts the word so that you begin to get a perception that's not accurate. Okay? Go ahead and read.
Okay. So verse 22. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas.
Right. Yeah, stop for a second. I'm sorry. So that means that the whole church, to include who agreed with this edict?
Who agreed, Paul and Barnabas?
Yeah. That's right. Because remember, Paul and Barnabas was going there to set the record straight.
Right. Yeah.
Now, there's much misconception about Paul pertaining to Torah and the fact that he taught against Torah. If Paul taught against Torah, why would Paul be in agreement with what James said in verse 21?
Right.
Paul would not be in agreement that these individuals should assimilate into a synagogue and learn the readings of Moses, because the readings of Moses is an idiom. Okay, yeah. It is a metaphor that means they were teaching them the commandments. They were teaching them Torah. They were teaching them about the five books. Now, if Paul was so adamant against Torah and against all of that and against the law, then he would not agree, nor would he raise his hand and say, I will go to all of the churches all over Asia, and I will teach them this doctrine that you just said, James.
That's right. Amen.
Okay. Oftentimes we have to stop and make sure we're hearing what is being said and what the historical impact of what is being said is being said. Go
That's
ahead.
Right. Okay. Namely, this is the B part of verse 22. Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren, they wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment.
Okay. Now, Rabbi, why are you saying that the King James Version, which it, for most Christians is the official version, why are you saying that it has a flaw here? Because basically what you're saying is that someone inserted the word the keeping the law,
mm-hmm.
that particular verse? And the answer is yes, because when you go back to other verses, also when you go back to the Textus Receptus of 1550 and 1551, the Textus Receptus is a document, a duplicated document of the text in New Testament format that was used to make versions of the King James Version in 1611.
Mm-hmm.
In 1550 and 1551, the individual that was in charge of that was an individual that was anti-Semitic.
Okay.
That means the person did not like the Jews, did not like to even insert things that were in any way implying that we have to implement certain aspects of Judaism.
Right.
Okay. Or which means the law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In this particular passage, when you go back and historically go back and look in the archives, you'll see where it was literally in the Koine Greek, which is common Greek, is what the Koine is common. In the common Greek language, it was inserted in 1551. It was inserted. Okay. The sad part of it in the King James Version is that's not even what the argument was about. The argument was never about keeping the law.
Mm-hmm.
The argument was about having circumcision for salvation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was the argument. Now, with that, can you go back up to verse 1 and 2? Also, as you're doing that, I want to make sure I cover this. And yes, this is still relevant toward the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's still relevant toward the Sabbath. So please don't let me lose you, listeners, because it's extremely important that you hear the Holy Spirit pertaining to this information.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right. The Apostle James makes a tremendous epiphany by saying that these Judaizers that most Christians teach, that the Judaizers that Paul and Silas ran into were Judaizers as in Orthodox Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They very seldom do you hear or even get any indication other than this scripture right here that these individuals that went down there were not Orthodox Jews that did not have a relationship with Yeshua, with Jesus Christ. But in fact, according to the apology that the Apostle James is given in this particular letter that's going to all of these churches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. It literally is saying, the Apostle James is literally asking to receive his apology for these Judaizers who came out of his congregation, meaning they were Messianic Jews. They had a relationship with Jesus Christ. They had a relationship with Yeshua. But they also walked in Torah, which was not uncommon because that was the way they taught it back then,
mm-hmm.
before the devil came in and began to steal that relationship.
Right.
So now we'll go back up to verse 1 and 2. We're going to see that these Judaizers that we already found out in verse 24 in the King James Version, that these Judaizers were members and are members of the Apostle James, and members of this New Testament believers movement, Messianic New Testament believers movement, and they came out of them, and they were trying to put extra restrictions.
Uh-huh.
And the extra restrictions was on the men. And the extra restrictions were on the men based upon them being circumcised, because the Gentiles did not believe in circumcision,
mm-hmm.
for the most part. Okay? Go ahead and read, please.
Okay. Acts 15, verse 1 and 2. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute mm-hmm. with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question.
Okay, about this question.
Yes.
In other words, there were no other questions about Torah that was spoken in the King James inserted translation.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other that you'll find. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. It was inserted in the King James Version, but there are other versions that are more literal to the truth of the manuscript before 1550 and before 1551 that actually are more authentic and truthful and don't have this insertion. Why? Because of what you just read in verse 1 and 2. And that is there was only one disagreement, if you will, that they had. And that was a disagreement about the salvation and the next step for the men only that the men had to take. So
okay.
I hope that's making sense, and I hope the listeners are beginning to see that aspect. Okay.
Yeah.
So reflect for me, you know, some of the aspects before we move forward of what you're receiving, Minister Tanita, pertaining to this that we've just read.
So what my reflection on this is that a lot of times we lose the fact that with us going back to verse 1 and 2, it helped to know that the question was dealing with salvation and circumcision, and that was for the Gentiles. But like you said, when you get over into verse 24, you realize, and if you're not aware of historical inserts, that this part with circumcision and keeping the law was very different from what they were addressing in verses 1 and 2. And then also that, like you said, doing the show that I do separate from this, is that, you know, historically they didn't have the churches like we have. They had synagogues, which meant that they already understood the Sabbath, and that's some of what we have lost in modern day time, you know, truly understanding and Torah. And then the other aspect is that they were taught Torah, so that's all they knew was Torah, was the book of Moses, which is another aspect in which we have lost. So
yes,
it's like we're trying to really catch up. We're saying we're the New Testament believer, but really the actual New Testament believer was taught from Torah. So
that's right.
We have to understand Torah in order to be the people that are talked about here in Acts, to be those. And then, like you said, James was teaching this 18 years after Yeshua, Jesus, had died on the cross and resurrected.
Exactly. You said it very succinctly. And my prayer is as we go through this study, that others will begin to question the doctrine in which they were taught,
mm-hmm.
Not to cause a revolt, because that's not where we are.
Right. Yeah, no.
But to cause a more intimate relationship.
Yeah.
Because these questions are coming, and the reason why I oftentimes pull from the New Testament is because there's more than enough evidence and proof
mm-hmm.
that the Messianic Jews did follow Torah, that they did follow Torah, that they
mm-hmm.
are individuals that have a relationship with the Father and
that's
with
right.
the Son. Okay?
Yes.
And that relationship it embraces Torah. In the New and the Old Testament embrace one another. They don't argue and come and shed apart from one another. And that's important. One of the things that I want to pass that on to Minister Tanita is that the next broadcast, we're going to go into the Paleo-Hebrew understanding of the Sabbath. And one of the things that I want to make sure that you begin to understand as we begin to answer the question is that the Sabbath is about relationship. So in
mm-hmm.
order to keep it whole, we got to understand what relationship is.
Okay.
So with that, I'm going to pass it to Minister Tanita to close us out, and then I will pray after that. But it's important to understand next time that we're going to talk about how Sabbath and how to keep it holy is pertaining to relationship.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, Rabbi Dunn. And to finish us out, just so you all know, the show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Pacific time. If you all have any questions, you can email your questions to tjonesbts@gmail.com. The ministry is, again, Beth Hashem Ministries. The website is bethhashem.org. That is BethHashem.org. We also have Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. And if you're interested in attending the services, you can email us at bethhashem@yahoo.com. That is BethHashem@yahoo.com. Thank you for attending the show, and I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi Jones.
Well, shalom, shalom. And Father, we just ask and pray, as we always do, that each and every word that is spoken is words of truth. And Father, if there are any words that are foul or that are not of you and are not true, Father, we cast those words down. We cast that information down right now in the name of Yeshua.
Yes.
We thank you, Father God, that your spirit will confirm or deny truth, because you are the spirit of truth. So, Father, we ask and pray that the spirit of truth begin to envelop each and every person that is listening, and that the anointing upon them comes upon them in the same way that the anointing of the Bereans came in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, because they listened intently to the information that Paul shared, and then they went back and studied and brought in that relationship and enrich that relationship with you, so that you can confirm or deny the truth, because it's the truth that actually sets and makes us free.
Yes.
Shalom, shalom, everyone.
Shalom, shalom.